Welcome to episode 103 of Eat, Drink, Write, an Urban Fantasy Whiteboard.
Brood. Bodes well.
Oh, boy. And today we're going to be talking more about trauma.
Yes.
We did do an episode on childhood trauma before, but I forgot to look up what number that was and how that might affect our villains and our main characters. But we thought we'd talk more about traumas in general. But before we get into that, how was your week?
Long. I think all of them are going to be long. We're down to, I've got a little bit more than 2 months before I graduate. So that's a little stressful. And I'm working my butt off. So all of that. We did get to go and see you guys for a little mini vacation in Helen. So that was fun.
That was fun.
So mostly overall pretty good. Like just busy, you know, as usual. So what about yours?
Tired. Trying to get ready for court. Got my list of cases for my next court date.
Oh, and you were sick last week. So that was also fun.
Yeah. Went up. One of the reasons we went on vacation was so I could get my booth back up to date up there where I sell, you know, I've got Dragon Craft Creations and on Etsy. And I actually have a booth up in Helen that I put my stuff in. So I had to work on getting my product. I hadn't been up there since Halloween. So
yeah, it's been a minute.
Make my necklaces and my bracelets and all that stuff and restock. So I spent a lot of time doing that. And now I'm trying to do my child support stuff.
Yeah.
What are you eating and drinking?
I'm not eating anything yet. I think I'm going to end up making chili cheese omelets though, after we're done here with that chili that you made for the Super Bowl. So,
Nice. Okay.
It's a little, it's oldish, but you know, it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
I can...
If you've got your dad's stomach, you'll be fine.
I don't know that I do, but you know, it's whatever. It's fine. But I'm drinking a mango chili margarita style Truly.
Never heard of that one.
It's very good. It's nice.
Neat.
So I highly recommend.
I am not eating yet. I think your dad's going to make waffles, he said tonight.
Oh, yum.
Sounds lovely. And I'm drinking a La Croix. I didn't feel like drinking. I'm tired. I want to be able to make it through this podcast so that people will be able to hear me instead of snoring. They'll be able to actually listen to things about trauma.
Fair enough.
So I should probably be drinking something with caffeine, but I'm not.
Well, that's fine.
Anyway, sorry about the delay for this. I was sick. It was a stomach thing. It wasn't COVID or anything. And so that wasn't fun. So that's why we're late, but now we're late again because of all this other stuff. So
yeah,
we're struggling. We apologize. Yeah.
Well, you know, it doesn't help that I can't help you too much on the podcast side of things because I'm so busy these days. And, you know, I'm working 10-hour days and you're busy too. And it's not a fun period of time at the moment. But
yeah, usually this time of year is slow for me. It's just, you know, not a lot going on. But for some reason, it's just been go, 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 go. So it has been a little difficult. We're going to try to get back on track, get down to a time schedule. I think you've got a handle now on what you have to do to get to where you want to be graduation wise. So
I think
we'll be able to work this in. So
I think so.
Okay. So I think it's important to think about the traumas that our characters face and how to write a valid, believable reaction to them.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, we're sadists when it comes to our characters.
So you're not wrong.
We put them through a lot of trauma. And so it would be good to know how they should react to that.
Yeah, definitely. I am really glad that you suggested doing these types of episodes in general, just trauma response episodes. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I've definitely read books where, you know, insanely traumatic things happen to the main character. But afterwards, they're like, you know, after the events resolved-ish, the character never really thinks about it again or deals with any potential consequences or have trauma responses. And so I think it's definitely something to keep in mind to keep your world realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, our heroes are heroes, but if you want it to be realistic without, you know, them being, you know, too good to be true type thing, you've got to be able to write effectively. Now we have a book that both of us have from Angela Ackerman and Becca Puglisi. They write these whole series of writer thesauruses.
Thesauruses. I think that's wrong.
And I think that's wrong too.
I was just playing with the words. I'm an author.
We can do that. But they are amazing. And actually, they've just come out with a new one, but I don't remember what the title of that one is.
Oh,
I haven't gotten it yet. I'm going to get it very soon.
Is it the conflict one?
I don't remember.
I don't either. But you're right. They do have a new one. They're still coming out with books.
Thank the Lord, because I've been waiting for the next one. I have all of them. So I'm very excited. There's a new one, which I don't have yet. But anyway, they have written a book that I used a little bit for this episode called Trauma, the Emotional Wound Thesaurus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, you've already said it, but they're super great books. We highly recommend them. They have several different kinds, from like the rural setting thesaurus to other ones, urban setting.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff. Every one of them is great, and they break them down well and they explain them well. And I listed the things that they talk about, but they go into whole chapters and paragraphs and on each of those things, plus more. Of course, I couldn't do all of it in this.
No, of course. And honestly, you know, I think it's worth it to support their books. Like, they do such a great job.
Mm-hmm, they do. So go buy those if you haven't. So there's three things, well, probably more, but three things that I was thinking about when I was doing these notes about writing trauma, like, how do you write the traumatic events themselves? And should you? I mean, and how to, which we've done. What was that episode we did on heavy scenes or something?
This is not a good night for either one of us. I do vaguely know what you're talking about. Like writing sad scenes or writing a heavily emotional scene, which, or something like that.
Trauma probably is going to be, but this is a little bit different than what we've written before.
Yeah. So, and, you know, back to what you said, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But to what you said, you know, should you write those events? You know, I think that's a great question, you know, because some of them are obviously they're traumatic for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you just want to keep your audience in mind. Like, yeah, your character may go through this event, but is it absolutely necessary for your audience to see it? You know, like, can we learn about it through the novel? You know, can we reveal it slowly, or can we fade to black when it's about to happen? You know, something, you know,
that makes me think of the Patricia Briggs. Was it book number two?
Yeah.
Three. Book number three. And Riley, I mean, she's old enough now, but she wanted to start reading those books. And you and I talked about whether she should read book three, because there is a scene in it that is extremely traumatic. And I decided that it was fine and that I would use that as an opportunity to talk to her about the trauma that was faced in that book. But keep your audience in mind. If it's a young adult book, you know, think about how you're going to deal with that kind of thing.
Exactly.
You've got to consider how this trauma is going to affect your characters, your character arcs, your storyline, your plot. You know, it's not just going to happen and then, like you said, oh, they've moved on to the next thing. It's going to last.
Right.
And when does this event take place? Is it childhood, like we did a childhood trauma episode? Was it in the past before the book started? Does it happen during the book?
Right.
You know, how is it that you want this traumatic event to unfold? And think about why. Are you doing it just for shock value? Because that may not be what you need to do. You know, we've always said it needs to have a reason to be in there.
Right. Always consider the purpose.
Yeah. So what is trauma? It's a negative experience or experiences that cause pain. Traumas can be emotional or physical.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I think that's super important to remember.
Yeah, because I don't know. Well, I list some, like the loss of a leg in a car accident is physical and emotional. The loss of a loved one isn't necessarily physical, although there can be physical consequences to grief.
Right.
And it's a hurt that lasts. You don't just move on to the next scene.
Right. I like the way that you put that because, you know, I think that's just something to keep in mind. You know, not every wound or, you know, a fall or a breakup or whatever is going to affect your character traumatically. Like, not everything is inherently traumatic. Mm-hmm. But some things definitely are. And I think it's, you know, the lingering pain can help you to define that for your character.
Right. I mean, and it may be traumatic at the time, like a breakup. Right.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily going to be a lasting trauma, but it still mm-hmm. has its own set of effects that happen to it. You know, a teenager for sure. who has their first horrible breakup from their first love is super traumatic at the time. But by the time they're 40 and they're married and have five kids or whatever it is, right. you know, it helped them grow. Wow. Helped them grow at the time. But when you're writing, if you're writing a young adult, then that is going to be a huge trauma. If Definitely. You're writing the 40-year-old character, that's not even going to be a trauma that probably comes up on his radar in the scene that you're in the book that you're writing.
Right. Yeah.
So physical traumas are like injuries, car accident, yeah. work accident, an injury that causes infertility, like in the show. Oh boy, this is going to be a rough episode. The show that everybody always talks about, that the United States got taken over and the girls have to wear the red.
And Handmaid's Tale.
Handmaid's Tale.
This is like a game that you and I get to play while we podcast.
It really is. This is terrible tonight. But you know how one of the main character people got shot and that caused her to not be able to have children, which then led right. to, she founded that whole society based on her desire. I mean, partly she wanted children.
Right.
And so that trauma, being shot and losing her uterus or whatever it was that affected her, had massive consequences to everything Absolutely. In that book.
Right.
An injury could be from a fight.
True.
Other accidents, like, you know, you fall down the stairs and break your toes, although breaking your toes is not that super traumatic.
I feel like I would have slight fear of stairs from then on.
I do hold on very tightly to the railing when life. I go up and down the stairs now.
Yeah.
Weather related, like think tornadoes and things blowing around and falling on your car, like a branch coming through your house and landing on the bed and
true
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Physical pain, like physical trauma. Well, injuries are physical trauma too, but I'm talking yep. about physical versus emotional.
Right, right.
So things like a miscarriage, which isn't an injury that happened, you know, no one else, well, I suppose they could have, but miscarriage, losing your sight, you know, people who have glaucoma or, mm-hmm. you know, something that happens, losing a limb, of course, losing your hearing.
Yes.
That happens to people all the time.
Right.
A gunshot wound, being burned, that makes me think of those people. There was that person who was going around throwing acid on people's faces. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Torture. Torture is yep. a big one,
yep.
which, you know, that can happen to our armed forces when they're captured and tortured mm-hmm. for information. It can happen by psychopaths who like to torture people. There's True. All kinds of lovely people out there. That's the Criminal Minds thing coming back out again. I'm done with that series finally. Emotional trauma, like a terrorist attack. You might not be physically harmed, but that fear, that trauma, 9/11.
I was about to say, like think of us as a, you know, the US as a country, like mm-hmm. the way that we've reacted to 9/11 mm-hmm. is 100% a trauma response to a terrorist attack.
I mean, I remember when that happened, you were young, you were in elementary school, but mm-hmm. I was actually at your school the day that happened. And it was traumatic. I remember how shocked we all were. We didn't know what to do. It was like we were milling about, not knowing how to react.
Well, it was so interesting because like even the next year, I was in third grade when it happened. And the next year when it was 9/11, this girl was in my class and we were just sitting there. And so I'm in fourth grade at this point. So I was like 9 years old. And this girl just burst into tears that morning. And the teacher was like, what's going on? And her dad was getting on a plane that morning.
Ugh.
Yeah. And so she was just scared because of course, like, you know, a year ago, this thing happened and then we're remembering it on the day of a year later. And it's obviously going to be very terrifying. So, you know, the responses are just, like you said, long lasting pain that comes from these things.
Things can trigger a memory of that, like her dad getting on the plane.
Right.
But it could happen years later. So it could be that that 40-year-old man that we're writing about had something happen in his childhood that does get triggered by something that's going on in your book right now.
Right.
You know, so that might be one way how this trauma is going to come into play in your book.
Yeah. Yeah.
But being kidnapped, the death of a loved one, your spouse, your family, your child, heaven forbid, friend, parent, family. And I think I said family already. You know, having a stalker, that happens. And not, you know, having the police tell you we can't do anything until something happens. Well, by then you're possibly dead.
Right.
You know, that is traumatic. Witnessing something horrific.
Definitely.
I remember when I was a kid, I witnessed a little kid getting hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's horrifying.
Yeah.
Rape.
Mm-hmm.
Betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
Divorce. You know, rape is also physical, but there is a huge emotional impact trauma with that.
Absolutely. And I was going to say, you know, I think based on your examples here, like it is pretty obvious that an event isn't limited to just one type of trauma. You know, I think an event can lead to both for sure.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of brings me to PTSD. You know, it's a real thing. And so I wanted to go ahead and talk about it because that our characters might have PTSD and you need to know, and you'll probably want to research, you know, how does it work? What is the treatment? What are the symptoms? That kind of thing. So PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder, and it's a mental disorder that you can develop after exposure to a traumatic event, like the ones we listed above.
Right. You know, yeah, for sure. And, you know, there are lots of books and movies and, I mean, honestly, any type of media that's out there that have shown PTSD, you know, think of The Walking Dead and, you know, that kind of thing. And some of them have shown it extremely well. And you mentioned Mercy Thompson earlier, the Patricia Briggs series.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she wrote Mercy's PTSD extremely well because it's so... Like Mercy obviously is healing and, you know, I'm not going to give too many spoilers for those of you who might not have read it, but, you know, is still healing, but she heals throughout the series and not just, you know, in one quick thing and then it's done. Cause
She continually, well, Patricia Briggs is a sadist, like all of us authors, and continually throws Mercy into trauma like you would not believe.
Right.
But her healing does take time and it does still come up books later.
Yeah.
And she does it. You're right. She does an excellent job of weaving that whole healing process and having reactions and things happen.
Yes, I think that's one of my favorite things about the Patricia Briggs novels is that she is very good at keeping it relevant, you know, in books later. Like, you know, and Mercy doesn't necessarily like, you know, think about her traumatic events all the time or whatever. But if something reminds her of it, she'll, you know, she'll think a sentence about it and then be like, oh, that was, you know.
Or have a physical reaction.
Right. Exactly.
Where we as the reader are like, oh, I know why she's doing that. I understand why her palms are sweating. You know, I get it.
Exactly.
And the symptoms might include disturbing thoughts, disturbing feelings, dreams. They might have nightmares. Mm-hmm. They could have attempts to avoid situations because, you know, like you said, I'm never going to go downstairs again because I fell. I'm going to have to use an elevator from now on, or never using an elevator because, you know, whatever.
Right.
But it all comes down to the way that your particular character thinks and feels.
Mm-hmm,
right. So think about your character, because Mercy is not going to handle trauma the same way I handle trauma. I would be in a mental institution if I went through what she went through.
Sure.
But she is strong, and yes, she's got PTSD, but people handle stressors differently,
very differently. And I think that's an extremely important point, is not everyone is going to handle things the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, trauma looks different for everybody.
That's, I like that you put it that way.
Yeah.
So it is probably the symptoms that you're going to be having to write when you're talking about trauma, because that's how it's going to come out in your character.
Right.
I did find out that 7 to 8% of the population will have PTSD at some point in their lives. That's wow. Crazy.
That's a big number.
And it affects twice as many women as it does men, according to, I got this from Wikipedia.
Oh, okay.
10% of women as opposed to 4% men.
Weird. I wonder why.
I don't know.
I wonder what their sample size was and stuff. That's the scientist in me though. So.
And is it just, you know, when they asked these questions, did men admit it?
Right. Yeah, fair.
You know, I mean,
no, that's a good point. I think
trained by our society, it's not manly to, you know, react a certain way. And so they might not have been honest in this survey or whatever.
Yeah, experiment. Definitely. Yeah, I think I would definitely have to know how the study was done.
Mm-hmm. And then consequences of PTSD might show itself in drug use or alcohol use, eating disorders, depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts and actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a really great movie that handled PTSD was Copycat with Sigourney Weaver. It's a really old one. It's like 1985 movie.
That's a great movie, though.
It was a really good movie. And she was the main character, and she was a psychiatrist who specialized in serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was testifying at this trial of the serial killer, and he attacked her and almost killed her. She almost died. And so her PTSD had manifested itself as agoraphobia, where she could not leave her home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crippling. And the storyline is, so that particular book was trauma at it. That was the whole core of that book. The whole plot line revolved around her trauma and her, the consequence of that trauma and how she handled, and then what happened in the plot line of the current time was excellent.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen that one. I need to watch that one again.
Yeah, that was a good one. I just remember thinking that is the perfect example of PTSD, this traumatic event really having a consequence that affects using it I don't know, maybe it was a book, but I saw the movie. if I could just finish a sentence, it'd be great. But yeah, that was an excellent example of seeing how it can be written into a plot line, into a book.
Definitely. You mentioned earlier, like using nightmares as a symptom of PTSD. Do you remember, you watched Black Sails, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when the captain's, I don't remember his name anymore, but his wife died, and the dreams that he had after that were so interesting, because I feel like that's important, because I don't think, you know, dreams that come with PTSD are just going to be reliving the event. You know, it's going to be, they're going to be very strange interpretations of the traumatic event that you went through.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's super interesting to think about, and something probably to research if you plan on using dreams as a symptom.
We should probably do an episode on dreams. Did we do an episode on dream sequences?
I don't know.
I don't either, but if we haven't, we should. I feel like we might have though.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are some tips for writing these traumatic moments? And I got this from the website, writewellsellwell.com.
Mm.
And it was a really good article.
Tried saying that 10 times.
Past, I know, though. Right? when traumatic events happen, it's really hard for the human brain to comprehend in that moment, the entire scope of what's happening. Right. So this tip was to write small, not big. Don't try to write the whole terrifying scene like an explosion, but rather the small parts that your character sees at the time.
Absolutely. I have actually heard that before. And it's, you know, there was one, I'm sure you have examples coming up. There was one article that I was reading about a guy who had gone off to war, and there was a suicide bomber in the city that he was in. And he just remembers seeing burnt children's socks on the ground. Yeah. And so like that was like that small detail that he remembered specifically. And that's just something that stuck with him.
Oh, so that's awful.
It sure is. Sorry to be a downer, y'all. But I think it reiterates the point of like focus on small details.
Yeah, I think so. You know, the finer details will give the reader bite-sized amounts to handle instead of this huge overwhelming scene also. Mm-hmm. And then it's also a great way to show character traits and a realistic way to show how real life works. When I was rear-ended in a car accident, I was pregnant with you.
Yeah.
And it was so strange. I don't remember everything that happened. I remember the smell of rain because it was raining, and that was part of why she rear-ended me. Mm. And it did seem like slow motion because I could see it coming in my rear view mirror. I knew it was coming and there was nothing I could do about it because there was a car in front of me and my hands were gripping the steering wheel as I braced for it. I wasn't noticing the car in front of me. I wasn't noticing that we were at a streetlight or what was going on anywhere else. My view was very limited, even though this major thing affected a whole bunch of people. My view was very limited of it.
Right. Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I love the tip. I just love it. You know, I think these strange little things, you know, tend to stick in people's minds, you know, like the smell of the rain that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, I've read some great books using this tip. There was one and I can't remember the title of it or even like really the premise. It's been a super long time since I read it, but you know, the main character had a trauma event where there was dripping blood. And so she remembers the sound of the dripping blood. And so every now and then in the present, as she was going through whatever the plot line of the story was, when she would remember that traumatic event, the author would use onomatopoeia of the drip, 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 you know, to take the character and the audience back to that traumatic event. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, at that point, the author didn't have to state she's thinking about this traumatic event. All she had to do was say drip, drip, drip. And we were all right there with her.
That gives me chills. That's awesome.
And I wish I remembered what series that was because it was a great use of that. And, you know, maybe I'll try to find it, but it's such a very small detail. So it might be difficult, but maybe one of you guys knows, I don't know, but it was a very good way to get across a lot of information to your audience that the main character was going through.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You also can connect it to a memory. The mind has this crazy way of interpreting moments in life, and you can add to the chaos of the event by showing the brain doing something unexpected. Like you said, that the children's socks, the burned socks, that is such an unusual, you don't expect that. You expect, you know, the smoke and the, you know, but he saw those socks and that is true. That's true. What your brain does.
Right.
And it could even be doing that to connect to a childhood memory of some kind, you know, like when you burned your hand on the stove, you know, this fire that you're experiencing might bring you back.
I did do that.
Yeah. Well, grandpa, my dad spanked Courtney's hand because she kept wanting to touch the hot eye. At least, you know, I don't think that he was there to spank you for that, but
no, I was a stupid little child and it was hot and you told me it was hot. And I was like, is it? And then I slapped my whole hand on it. And I was like, that's pretty hot. Burst into tears.
Screamed your head off.
Sure did. Sure did. I have always been, you know, a curious human and now I'm a scientist.
Scientist. It makes sense. speaking of the senses, like the smell of the rain that I smell. Usually in an event, when it's happening that fast, you don't notice all five senses. You know, when I was in the car accident, I'm sure that there were sounds and all kinds of things that I just didn't notice. I remember the rain.
Right.
But, you know, generally we always say use all five senses. That's a great idea to get detail and stuff across, but, you know, maybe not in a traumatic event. Like,
sure.
You know, you always see it on TV shows where an explosion goes off and they can't hear. You hear the mumbled sound.
Yeah.
That hearing sense is gone, but they're seeing these things. Or, you know, you pick a sense and explore that and see what you can do with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good idea. Kind of like being dunked underwater, like see what else is there, you know, can you see anything? Can you taste anything? I feel like taste gets left out a lot.
I think so. But, you know, the taste of blood might not be a bad detail in a particular traumatic event.
And absolutely,
that taste might be, that might be the one sense that you're going to want to accentuate, which can then come in later, you know, the taste of the copper taste, you know, it can come in later to bring us back to the trauma.
Definitely.
Less is more. If you need to describe a fiery crash on the freeway from the point of view of your character, give it in like short bursts that someone might see, because they aren't watching it like a movie detached. You're in it. So you're looking for your phone, or you're, you know, you don't know how, you know, you don't react. Your body can't see it like a movie.
Well, it makes me think of when Jordan and Darius got in their car accident. And, you know, they had their dog with them, Ariel. And so these people stopped to see if they were okay. And Jordan was like, is my dog okay? Is my dog okay? And the dude's like, I don't really care about your dog. Are you good? Like, are you okay? And she's like, but my dog. So she wasn't paying attention to any scratches.
Anything else.
Had,
yeah.
If the car was okay, what this dude was actually saying to her, you know, she was focused on my dog.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, you might see like the very top of a fireball or light bouncing off the side of a semi. It's going to be these odd little things that I think give your book and this traumatic event that you're writing depth.
Right.
You know, the ground shaking underneath the floorboard of the car, you know, find small moments and let the reader fill in the blanks as you know, that's also a tip that we often hear. Let your readers fill in the blanks.
Yeah, definitely.
Then I found another site called lisahallwilson.com, and it's all one word. And she had another really good article that, you know, we think about fight or flight, and she had a really good way of talking about this. She said, past trauma has four main lasting reactions: fight, flight, freeze, or fawn.
Huh.
Most people have heard of the fight or flight. That's where you either try to get away or you come out fighting. And she says, fighting doesn't necessarily mean fists. It might come out as being angry, where you yell. That's your reaction, is that you're, you know, think about how parents, you see them on TV yelling at their kids, and it's not because, you know, it's because of the trauma of the event. They're scared for their child. And so that's their fight, reaction.
Right.
Freeze looks like, you freeze, you go numb, you are in denial. You stand there kind of like when we were milling about at 9/11, it was this, what's happening? You're in denial. You feel tired. You feel a disassociation with what's going on.
Right.
You know, our brain has this incredible ability to escape the trauma on the outside by going inside. And
well,
then,
and it's nowhere near like a trauma response or whatever, but just like the fear response of, when I was in Alaska, I discovered that I have an intense fear of heights, which is, you know, a great place to discover that. It's wonderful.
On the mountain.
Yeah. I was, you know, on the mountainside, and I had never had a fear response where I literally just froze. You know, it's not necessarily the trauma response, but like more like the immediate fear response, I guess, which is, you know, also going to be part of a traumatic event, I guess, if you end up riding one of those. But I was on the side of a mountain, was supposed to be climbing up it, looked over to the side. There's no side, you know, there was not a side. There was a drop and I froze. That was just what I decided to do, was like, ah, if I don't move, then I'm good to go. You know? So, you know, kind of the same, like, you know, I'm denying that I'm in any danger and I'm just going to stand here and I'm not going to move. And that's fine. And I think it is very much like something that is similar to this. Again, not necessarily a trauma response, but just a
similar... it kind of was. It was a fear response, which, I mean, your body, your brain took that as trauma at the time.
It sure did.
You know, Jordan mentioned something the other day, the same thing, that she said, so apparently I'm not a normal human. She said, you're supposed to have a fight or flight response and I just freeze. Well, apparently it's a thing.
It is a thing. Very much. Very much.
Fawn is like a possum playing dead. Sometimes it's done consciously. You're looking for an escape. Sometimes it's unconscious. This makes me think of those cute little goats that when you run up and scare them, they go stiff and fall over. Have you seen that?
Yeah,
they are the cutest things. You know, you scare them and they're like, thunk. That's a fawn.
Oh, what a poor baby.
You know, you might take a beating knowing the abuser will pass out and then they'll be able to be safe or free. You know, it's that play dead syndrome.
You know, I didn't really think about, you know, the fawn response before. I'd never really heard of it.
I had never heard of it.
But I think I kind of write Louie that way, you know, with Oris. She kind of has the fawn response. Like
she just waits it out.
Yeah. She's not really trying to, I mean, she is now, but like, she wasn't really trying to, you know, get away from it. You know, what she has to go through with Oris. She's just kind of like, well, you know, he'll be over it eventually.
And it is what it is. It's like in my book with Trick, the demon hunters. River, her mentor dude, beats her all the time. And she just is like, well, it'll stop eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she does that fawn response. She doesn't fight back. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't freeze. She just waits for it to be over.
Yep. Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. So in urban fantasy, it not just lends itself to the types of traumas in every other type of book, but it has even more that you can do with it because of the type of book it is.
Right. You know,
magical trauma. Like,
yeah,
I was thinking of Magic Bites, the Alana Andrews series. Now, that trauma happened a long time ago where the magic and the technology collided. But think if that book had been written when that happened, that would be a huge trauma.
Honestly, I think that'd be really fun to see. I would love to see a book where
they need to write the prequel. Yeah.
Yeah.
You okay?
Sorry. Yeah. Give me a second. I think I swallowed wrong last time I took a sip.
You're not supposed to inhale alcohol.
But it, you know, it diffuses through the blood faster that way.
That's true.
Yeah. But you were talking about magical trauma, and I can just imagine all kinds of ways that magic could be traumatic.
Yeah.
You know, and it often is in urban fantasy novels. I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it, is kind of almost the point, you know, where like magic is a bit traumatic and it changes the way that people, you know, live their lives. And it is the strange element in this genre. Magic is the element that makes urban fantasy, urban fantasy. And so obviously that's going to come with the plot line and the things that happen to our main characters. And you know, I mean, think about your Half Dead novel that you've talked about recently.
Yeah, I forgot about that, but yeah,
that's some trauma.
Definitely trauma. Death is trauma.
Yeah.
Creature trauma. You've got werewolves. You might be attacked by a werewolf. You might be kidnapped by the fae. All kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Again, it makes me think of the Patricia Briggs novels. You know, she really puts her characters through the ringer. You know, they've been attacked by werewolves. They've been changed by werewolves. They've been kidnapped by Fae. They've been attacked by Fae. You know, all kinds of stuff happens in her books, and they're extremely well done.
Oh yeah, definitely. I guess she would be a great one to go and study if you want to go and study how to deal with trauma in your novels.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, in urban fantasy, the world is so fantastical. I don't sure if that's a word or not, but you can pile on the trauma to your characters in ways that aren't normal for other genres.
100%. But I also think it's important to remember that, like, the quote unquote normal ways to have your character have a trauma may also highlight the humanity of your characters in such a fantastical world.
That's a good point. That's
thinking about it. I think, you know, it's a good way to show that your characters are still quote human. Unquote human. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. That makes me think of Buffy. Buffy had a lot of trauma that she had to experience, especially for a kid. You know, she was a teenager.
Yeah.
But that might be a good, you know, any excuse to go pull out Buffy and watch Buffy is good for me. But that
you have immediately made me want to watch it again. Yeah. Thank you.
That might be a great one to study to see how all the different trauma was handled and how a teenager super, did it, you know,
super good one. Yeah. It makes me think of the episode where her mom died. You know, the acting in it was superb, and the writing of it, of that trauma response, was really well done, I think. Mm-hmm.
I think so too. And then Charmed, the old Charmed. I haven't watched all the new Charmed yet, so I don't know what it's got going on, but the old Charmed, Piper, that poor girl, she had a tendency to date like killers.
She really did. She well, that, and then like
ghosts. And, she fell in love with ghosts. Yeah.
And yeah, just wow.
And then of course they had all just lost their grandmother at the beginning of the series, and they had lost their mom at a young age. Their dad had left them.
And those things played such a role in the way that they lived their lives from then on. You know, throughout the entire series, their grandmother and their mother, you know, their deaths affected them and the way that they lived their lives. There was a whole episode about Prue, you know, dealing with their mother's death and how she had drowned at the lake and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And Phoebe, her dealing with the leaving of the father, she never got, you know, she handled that so much differently than Prue did. And yet the mother's death didn't affect Phoebe as much because she didn't never know her.
Right.
She was so young when she died. She didn't have the trauma that Prue had.
Although that had its own, you know, brought its own issues along as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Fever series, it starts off with the trauma of the main character losing her sister. But another book that has lots of sadistic things thrown at our main character. Many other traumas. Mac. Yeah. Through that.
Poor Mac. And, you know, Karen Monning made a point to tell her readers, her audience, you know, that while the story is dark, like it is a dark story, there are a lot of horrible things that happened to poor Mac. You know, there is a light in the end, and that's kind of the point of her story. So maybe that's important to you as an author as well. You know, traumatic events don't have to mean end all be all for your characters, of course. You know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. So
definitely it could be the overcoming. It could be part of your character arc. It could be, you know, it could be the acceptance of living with that darkness too. It, you know, Courtney likes that kind of, I like the happy endings where, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel, but Courtney is fine with the darkness becoming accepted and living with it.
I am too, depending on the story. You know, I think
Katniss in
Good books.
Yeah, yeah. Very good books. And that end was sad. You know, yes.
It had a darker ending. I mean, she ended up okay, but
but her traumas that she, that's another book with a whole bunch of traumas in it. Holy cow.
Oh, and it's good. It's a good one.
Very good. But yeah, it wasn't, you know, she became leader of the world, you know, she accepted what was, which is an interesting way to see how, and that is real life too.
It sure is. I think for that one, it's important to know your genre and the way that you tell your story, but you know, you're your own author. You guys know your stories.
Yeah.
So
that's all I've got.
That is also all I have, except for my usual interview question sentence challenge.
Okay.
So for my interview question, have you utilized traumas in your novels? And I think we talked a little bit about it as we
all the time. We do, both of us. Absolutely. Yeah. I can't even pinpoint poor Beck in Frickin' Fairies. Her life as a normal little bookstore owner just goes woo down,
Yeah.
Trauma after trauma after trauma.
Absolutely. I think Kata, her being tossed into a brand new world, she's constantly having to play catch up and, being attacked by things that she has no idea what they're capable of. Also,
the thing I like about Beck is that even with all the trauma that I threw at her, she somehow manages to stay positive.
Yeah.
She is a person who always looks to the bright side, or tries to.
Right. Yeah.
Kata is more, I don't even know. She's definitely not an optimist.
No.
She kind of goes with the flow on that one, but you're right. I threw all kinds of stuff at. I think all writers do.
Oh, 100%. And it was less of like a, do you use, trauma in your novels, and, just more of a question to get you talking about it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I mean, all your books too.
I'm really mean to my characters. Yeah. I think I give them a lot of stuff to work through.
Louis,
I've got,
oh my Lord,
poor Louie has a lot to work through, and she's got Delaney to help her out.
Mm-hmm.
Delaney has her own issues by the end of, book one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I attack her in the first chapter of the book. Mm-hmm. So, my cat just decided he didn't want my door to be covered by a curtain. So I will have to fix that in a second. But, Aiden, she loses her sister on the first page. Mm-hmm. Mac is tossed into being in the spotlight as the only magical person known to the world as of yet.
Well, and it was trauma that she killed that person.
Oh, that's right. I did do that to her. Wow. I was so rude. It's been a while since I've read that one.
I mean, she didn't want to do that. That just, and the trauma that she suffered from the feelings that she had because of what she had to do.
I legitimately forgot that I made her do that. That's unfortunate for her.
I love writers. We're all a crazy bunch of people.
Listen, I have a lot of people talking in my head. Mac hasn't in a long time. So
yeah.
Good grief. But yeah, no, definitely lots of trauma there in my novels.
Okay.
I do have a sentence challenge for you guys who are interested in participating. So basically take this sentence that I'm about to give you and use it in a piece of work. I typically do one page just to legitimately challenge myself into getting a story through in that little space. And so this week's challenge is, you have no idea what I've been through.
It's a good one. Very apt.
Very apt. I try to keep them a little bit relevant to the topic of the day.
So. Yes. Can you do the outro?
Oh, I can try. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Sorry we were late on this one and didn't have an episode for you guys last week. Come and follow us on our social media. We did post there that we weren't going to be having an episode last week, or that we were late. So we try to keep you guys a bit up to date on what is going on if we're not posting episodes. You can find us on pretty much any form of social media. So we have a Facebook, a Pinterest, an Instagram, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find all of those links at on our website at eatdrinkwritepodcast.com. I think that's right. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think so.
And the best way to get in touch with us. Oh God. The best way to get in touch with us is through our email. So eat.drink.write.podcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
And we just super appreciate we appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. And
we'll love to hear from you. Any topics you want us to talk about? anything.
I should write down this outro.
I know. Me too. I always mean to. And then I'm like, we're sitting here talking. I'm like, oh, we're done.
We need an outro.
We have to have an outro.
You know, maybe it sounds more organic if I just spew a bunch of words at people.
All right, guys. Well, thank you all for listening. Did you say anything about our Patreon?
We have a Patreon. Yeah. Please come support us at our Patreon. We've got a few extra goodies there for those of you who are supporters. That is patreon.com/EDW podcast.
Yes.
And we would really appreciate the support. We love doing this for you guys.
Definitely. All right. We will see you next week.
See you next week.